My dear friends, I want to bring to you that best-known verse in the Bible for today's talk. You know, all over the world, in hundreds and hundreds of different languages and dialects today, this great verse is being repeated, and people are tasting of God's love as they hear it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a wonderful thing to know that God in wondrous love has revealed that love at the cross when he gave his Son to die for us. God's terms of salvation are so simple. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I see no reason why you, listening to this talk, could not this very day look into the face of your God and taste of that eternal life that can come to you in Christ. It's a lovely story told how a rich man and his wife lived in a very great castle-like home, and they had everything that money could buy, but you know money can't buy everything. In fact, some of the richest and deepest experiences of life can't be bought by money at all. God gives them freely. They're not bought by money. Well, just about 2 miles away from the castle, there lived a woodman and his wife, and they had 5 lovely children. They lived in a cottage on the edge of the woods, and they were a happy family. Now, up there in the castle, the rich man and his wife had no children. Sometimes a woman's heart longed for the patter of feet, children's voices up and down the great hall. But no, there was no child there. And they'd often watch this woodman and his wife with the 5 children, 3 lovely girls and 2 boys. One day, from the castle-like home, there came a carriage, and it stopped at the woodman's door. And when they were invited in, they made the startling proposition: if you would let one of your 5 children come and live up in the castle with us, that child shall be our own. Everything we have will belong to that child. We don't mind which one you send. We watch your children. We love all of them. We ask you, could you spare one? That night, the woodman and his wife put their children to bed early, and they sat down to discuss this tremendous proposal, which one of their children should go and live in the castle up on the hill. But it wasn't too easy. After talking for some time, they didn't seem to make much progress. They said, let's go upstairs and look at them. And so, climbing the little cottage stairs, they stepped into a little pocket room where 3 sleeping girls lay. As they looked at the eldest girl, Father said, I think Alice is the best one to go and leave us. Alice? Said Mother. No. She's my right hand. She's helping me with the other children. She's learning to cook. She's helping me in the home. Not Alice. And so they looked at the second girl, and half-heartedly, Mother pointed the finger and said, that's the one I think should go. Now, Father wouldn't admit any favorites, but somehow that little girl had twined little fingers round Daddy's heart. Somehow, in a special way, he loved that girl. He said, no, not that one. No, 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 that one. And their eyes turned to the baby girl, and half-heartedly Dad said, well, it must be the baby girl. What, said Mother, the baby girl? Our baby girl? Well, if it isn't a girl, said Dad, it'll have to be one of the boys. And slipping out of the little bedroom, they moved into the next room where the 2 sleeping boys lay. As they looked at the boys, Mother's finger rose and she said, that's the one, Tom. He's a sturdy, manly little boy. He can look after himself. I think he's the one to go. Tom, said Dad. Tom? No, he's my right hand. He's helping me in the woods. I couldn't spare him. I'm teaching him things. He's minding the stock. And their eyes turned toward the crib in which the little baby boy lay. And they looked at him, and the tears were swimming in their eyes. And no one raised a finger. And then they drew near and put their arms around each other, that man and wife who loved each other, and they just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And then they crept out of the room and went downstairs, and they said, no, it couldn't be the baby boy, the little one. And they talked till midnight, but they couldn't decide who should leave a woodman's cottage to live in the lovely palace. And yet, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. I speak with reverence. God hadn't 5 children to give. There was only one. And he gave him not to leave a cottage for a palace, but to leave the ivory palaces, to stoop down to the virgin's womb, to the lonely pathway to the cross of shame at Calvary, to me misjudged and whipped and bruised and beaten and spat on, and hanging on the cross cry, my God, why didst thou forsake me? And you know the answer to that question. God, who is holy, God made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's true, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, gave him to the cross of shame to meet our desperate need and danger. God's terms of salvation are just as simple as this. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, why don't you take that gift today? It's so simple. You must come with empty hands. You must come with a needy heart. You must look into the face of the Savior with a great big thank you. And as you bow at his cross and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you today for taking my place upon that cross and bearing my sin to win my salvation. My heart is open to receive you. From today, Lord Jesus, I'll belong to you. And I will let you have the right in my life. I'm yours forever. And you'll never regret it. You say, could I do this today? Yes, just where you are listening to my voice at this very moment, you could make that great decision to receive that Savior. And you could rest upon the promise of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God bless you.